Sampling has always been a staple within hip-hop, and it's for a good reason. And I feel like just beyond the music and how good it sounds, it's actually incredible to be able to start going into the samples and understanding the music behind certain productions or certain interpolations to be able to educate yourself on music history. So, for example, in today's episode, Lou and I brought in a couple of iconic songs from the genre, and we're going to be diving deep into the actual samples behind them and giving you guys the explanation on why they use them or, you know, what they actually sound like, playing some of them and more. So guys, in the Q&A, let me know something. What is the greatest hip-hop sample of all time in your opinion? It could be an interpolation, it could be something to do with the production, whether it's, let's say, vocals, let's say a guitar riff, drums, whatever the case may be. Let me know in the Q&A. But Lou, how did you formulate this list? Because obviously you could go through Kanye West's catalog and find all kinds of sample flips, but I brought no Kanye today. I didn't want to bring any
really?
Kanye. I brought no Kanye today because I figured you'd probably bring in Kanye. And like, how many times do you want me to talk about like an Otis Redding sample, for example? You know, I've covered that on the podcast.
What's interesting is I didn't bring in any Kanye songs, but I brought in like Kanye produced songs. So
okay,
that's kind of where I went with it. But yeah, in terms of how I treated this, I mean, I love the art of sampling. I feel like the idea of reinventing an old aesthetic, an old sound, an old instrument and recreating it for a newer generation is beautiful. I think it's a way to keep that older music alive and to allow it to thrive for years to come. So,
well, example, you've had like, let's say, interviews back then. I'm not sure if you ever saw that Prince interview where he was saying that, oh, well, everything's sampled and, you know, there's no originality. So to kind of counter that, I agree with you where it's, you're educating people on maybe where sounds are originally from and also paying homage to them.
Yeah.
And of course, if they're cleared from the original artists themselves or the labels, they're completely fine with the way that you're using their art to be able to enhance your own, you know? So that's the way
that
I
feel about it. Yeah, and not only that, but also like when you look at all music, that music that features samples or not, like every idea spawns from a previous idea. So there's so many different creative thoughts that flow across the music industry that at a certain point, everyone's inspired by something. So whether that be directly including that inspiration or not,
I agree.
I feel like we can't look down upon it. And especially in hip hop, bro, like you look at even albums today that come out every single week, nearly every single album that's released has at least one sample.
Oh, absolutely.
For hip hop, like it's
almost impossible.
It's embedded in like the DNA of the genre at this
for
point.
Sure.
So we had to.
And shout out to who sampled for helping me with this episode.
Absolutely.
Like, this
and,
is a, like, a who sampled episode.
Honestly, I'm excited to even just give you guys recommendations based on the original music that was sampled here because there's a lot of dope shit that I feel like you guys are really gonna enjoy. But
you want me to start this off?
Yeah, start it off.
All right. Yeah. So okay, we'll play a little game. All right. How about this? So I'll name you the hip hop song, and you have to try and maybe guess the sample.
I'm down.
If you could probably guess
it's
it.
It's gonna
so,
be so difficult,
it
especially
is.
For mine. I'm like,
it is gonna be difficult.
You might get like one of these, you know?
Okay, so how about this one? Rhyming and Stealing by the Beastie Boys.
No
off
fucking
of
clue.
Nothing. Okay, this is When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin off of Led Zeppelin 4. And if you guys pay attention to the song itself, basically the Beastie Boys sampled the drums off of this song. And you know what? This song is actually interpolated from an older song that was created in 1929.
Me.
And yeah, it's really like, well, more of like the structure about it, because When the Levee Breaks, I believe is an original song by which blues band is it, bro? It's an old blues band song that was released in 1929. It has to do with the floodings of the Mississippi River in 1927. That's the content matter. So basically, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and, you know, John Bonham and everyone in Led Zeppelin was super inspired by the song, and they aspired to recreate it, obviously. And basically what had happened was is that Robert Plant ended up using a lot of the similar lyrics and a lot of the similar writing from the original one. But when it came to, let's say, Jimmy Page's guitar riffs or let's say John Bonham's drums, that's when they decided to take a turn. And you know, it's an incredible song. Some people regard this as one of the best ever Led Zeppelin songs to ever be released. It's on one of the best albums ever, to be quite honest with you. And even when you go into the song structure itself, it's beautiful. There's like this sort of like wooziness to it itself. And when Robert Plant was talking about how they mixed the song itself, it's very interesting because if you pay attention to his vocals, everything's very straight and narrow. They're very direct to you, but all of the instrumentation around his vocals are very spacey. They're all moving. It almost has like this psychedelic effect to it. And then you hear those blues influences with the modern rock and roll, well, at least the modern rock and roll for the 70s implemented within it. So it was something cool because once you start getting into Rhyming and Stealing, you'll start to pick up on the drums itself, but it's so low-key planted within the song itself. And I just feel like, especially when you start sampling classic rock records like that, you know, it's going to give off a certain effect within your song itself. So that's the first recommendation for you today. And if you've never visited Led Zeppelin 4, I mean, do yourself a big favor and, you know, go visit that album because it's one of the best of
all time.
Shout
out to the Beastie Boys, man. I think they have like fucking probably hundreds of songs that sample like rock songs.
It was a Memphis Mini song originally. I have it here on Wikipedia in front of me. Do you want me to play a bit of it actually?
Sure.
Just so people could get a bit of a taste of what this sounds like. One of my favorite songs in rotation as well before. I was revisiting Led Zeppelin 4 maybe a month ago and I was going through it and then I was doing some homework on just some... Yeah, Led Zeppelin 4, the remaster, such a sick album. How do you like having like Stairway to Heaven, Black Dog on here, like going to California, when the... Oh,
classic.
Crazy. Yeah, it's a serious song. So that's my first recommendation for today. And of course, it samples the iconic Rhymin' and Steelin'.
Yeah.
Rhymin' and Steelin', the
samples,
iconic. But yeah, samples that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I wanted to bring that in.
My first one's going to be Old Smokey by Linda Lewis, which is the song that is sampled in Go by Common, which came out in 2005.
Very nice.
So I don't think you were going to guess that one. I wasn't going to ask you, to be honest.
No, no.
So yeah, Old Smokey came out in 1972. It's a Linda Lewis song. It's an old soul song. And what's interesting is the way that it's such a minimal part within the original song that Kanye ended up sampling within this track. So when you listen to the song Old Smokey, you'd have to skip all the way to the 2:26 mark where you start to hear these bright piano keys make an entrance. And what's very interesting is that those keys only stay on the track for a matter of seconds. Like they really come in the song and they leave immediately. And that's what I love so much is that Kanye was clever enough to use those bright keys as the main melody for the production of Go. And I love this sample flip because it shows you that Kanye's one of those producers that really pays attention to the finest details. One chord, one short riff, one sound can turn into so much more. And that's what he did here. He took a little bit and turned it into so much more. When it comes to the song itself, Old Smokey, I wanted to bring it in as a recommendation because it's one of the most beautifully produced songs that I've heard in a long time. I love the way the instrumental progresses. It almost sounds like you're going through the seasons, the way that different instruments are ushered in.
That's awesome.
She has a very youthful and light voice. It almost sounds like you're listening to a child sing. And I love the chimes. I love the flute. The enchanting keys, of course, that are sampled on the song. Every instrument is just given its time to shine within this track. And again, just that idea of Kanye finding the right sound to utilize and to explode onto a full song. It was genius in my opinion. That's something that he's done all across his production catalog. But I'm going to play you the exact parts from the original song that ended up being used on the song Go. So check this out. Let's see here.
Is it all throughout the song, by the way?
It's not. It's only, like I said,
it's only a couple of seconds. Not on Go.
On Go, it's all throughout the song. On the original song, it's only, that's what I was saying.
I thought it was the inverse.
No,
I thought
only That's what makes it so clever is that it's only for a few seconds on the original and Kanye made it the melody of the whole song. So let me find this here.
Send this to me, by the way.
Yeah. Here we go. So in a couple seconds. You'll recognize right now.
Yeah.
And then it goes away. And that's it. It's only there for like maybe...
Yeah, I need you to send that song to me.
Yeah.
Because I want to go back to that.
It's there for maybe like 8 seconds, bro. It's pretty wild, but...
And then it sped up a bit, right? It sped up a bit to like
maybe,
match the drums.
Maybe slightly, yeah.
I feel like it is because
maybe
that was a bit slower as far as the tempo goes. But all right, let me continue going on with this. I think I've shown you this. This is going to be I Keep Forgetting by Michael McDonald, released in 1982 on If That's What It Takes.
Right.
And
yeah.
This is the sample used on Regulate by Warren G. And to be quite honest with you, I feel like when going through this song, I never really even knew that it existed low-key because I guess maybe I was too young to be able to be, you know, listening to that type of stuff. And my father wasn't big into like R&B or contemporary R&B back then. So my parents were never really playing it. But this is an absolute classic. And I believe it actually went 7 on the R&B charts. And then after that, 8 on the adult contemporary charts back then. And then after that, I believe it peaked at 4 on the Billboard Pop Singles chart. So it was pretty big back in the 80s itself. But it's interesting because, you know, Michael McDonald's, you know, cadence and, of course, his lyrics all the way throughout are very R&B-esque. Obviously talking about, you know, remembering a woman and remembering like why he doesn't love her anymore, and you know, remembering all the types of things that they go into. But it's interesting because it's not your traditional like R&B sort of production. It feels like very, I don't want to say like maybe a bit of hint of like alternative rock, because you have some heavier drums on there. You do have like that bass line that comes in and out of the production as well. But it's an all-time classic. And, you know, Warren G didn't like waste no time with this song. It's not like they took like the sample and they manipulated it to the point where you wouldn't be able to like hear it. No. Like, this is extremely prominent, and he's legitimately rapping over this, like close to the same instrumental. So let me play this for you guys.
Nothing sped up or pitched up or...
I'm telling you, dude, it's like, yeah. It feels like you're almost driving in GTA when you're listening to this song. It's fucking incredible. It's such a sick song. Let me play this for you guys. See what I mean? Like, it's practically the same thing.
Maybe slightly sped up.
Like, you see, like, these chords come in. Like, this little bass line comes in, and, like, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, tempo seems the same.
Yeah, so fire. It's interesting because they categorize it as an R&B song, but I'm listening to that instrumental and I'm like, that feels like a bit of like alternative rock, you know, like a bit of a blues hint as well. So it's a very interesting track stylistically, and I feel like, you know, it birthed one of the most iconic songs of all time for the hip hop genre. So shout out to Michael McDonald and shout out to this song. I wanted to bring it in as a recommendation.
So this is one that you might actually know, "Man of the Year" by Schoolboy Q.
Oh yes,
you know this one, right?
I think I used it in a Who Sampled.
I think so, yeah.
I think, I guess the song based on the sample. I wouldn't be able to name the sample, but I think I know.
So what's cool about this one is that the producers, Nez and Rio, sampled a song that was just 2 years old at the time in 2014, and that was "Cherry" by Chromatics, came out in 2012. And this is really cool because Nez and Rio essentially took the first seconds of that song and built the main melody of the beat around that. And as far as I can tell, again, they didn't really speed it up or alter it that much, and you'll hear it when I end up playing it, but it's just cool to see when producers in the hip-hop genre utilize an electronic song or a folk song, like, for example, the way that Travis Scott used Fleet Foxes on Hell of a Night. Like, I find it really cool when producers are able to take a sound that's not relative, like, it doesn't include relative genres like soul or R&B. It's really outside of the realms, whether that be rock and roll, electronic, folk, whatever it is. And I definitely recommend listening to this song, "Cherry," just because the production is absolutely stunning, bro. You have this droning, airy synth. You have these light violin strings, which are all heard on "Man of the Year." And what's cool that when you go on the original song, you go from those airy synths, and then you get a transition to a very cool bass line that ends up being the main driver of the instrumental. The lead singer, Ruth, sings with a very subdued tone, but it's also a very dreamy song, just like the production. And the song is about a breakup. So it's funny because there's this hype, energetic mood of "Man of the Year," but the original source song, it's about a breakup. And you could see through lines like, "I can't see a light for us at the end anymore." But what's interesting too, and what's ironic about that, is that even though the lyrics tell one story, the production and the feel of the song, it's very euphoric. It's very blissful. So I like the contrast there. But let me play you the original, and you're going to see what I mean when I say that. It seems like not much was really altered, so.
Let's hear this.
Let's play this. Really fucking with this. Here we go, "Cherry," Chromatics. There we go.
This is the original? Wow. Oh, I see. Yeah, send that to me again.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Send that over.
Song.
Send that over.
Very graphic cover art, though. This shit.
Oh, nice. All right, send that over to me. I'm definitely going to bump that in the car after I go home. But all right, let me go on to the next one. Do you know what sample they used at 93 Till Infinity By Souls of Mischief?
No, no idea, man.
Okay, so you didn't decide to bring that in? Okay, interesting. This is called, bless you, this is called Heather by Billy Cobham. And if you're not familiar with Billy Cobham, he was an iconic instrumentalist, to be more exact, a drummer who came to prominence within the, like, you know, the late 1960s and the 70s, and he played with Miles Davis. He even played with the Mahavishnu Orchestra in New York within the 70s itself. So big jazz background. And within the song itself, what's really cool is that if you kind of go throughout the track, you know, of Souls of Mischief, by 93 Until Infinity, you have that iconic, like, sound in the back. Like, there's that iconic melody, right? And it's built up by this song itself. And this is a beautiful jazz instrumental. It's just incredible to go through. Even when you're going through the song itself, you know, they use, like, these woodwind and, like, brass instrumentation to give it more of, like, a lively feel and more of an expansive sound. Thank you to Jazz Fusion for breaking it down. I believe it was someone that I dropped in, like a little anecdote on the page itself, because there was no, like, Wikipedia page for it. There was nothing on Genius. There was nothing on who sampled itself. So I had to kind of dig deeper into certain jazz blocks to go and find it. But it's just incredible because you get all these types of little different types of time changes within the song itself as well. The tempo increases, it slows down. It's very moody and ethereal, and it's one of my favorite jazz songs that I've heard in a very long time. And when you go through it, you know, Souls of Mischief basically sampled this for the main hook and melody of the entire song itself. So Birthed Again, one of the most incredible songs of all time. I'll play it for you guys, and you let me know if you're able to pick up on it, because it's a bit harder. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's called Crosswinds. Very slow tempo. And so you have, like, these alien-like keys that come in and out of the production too.
You almost can't pick it up, though, I'll be honest.
Yeah, you're going to have to go on to Who Sampled and check it out for where exactly it starts all the way throughout. But it's very interesting because it's very, like, very put in, if you get what I'm trying to say. And, you know, when it comes to Billy's music, he's always done jazz fusion with all kinds of different genres and created, like, a whole new wave of jazz fusion. So, very historic song. Wanted to bring that in, but let's keep going on with this.
Next up, Money Trees by Kendrick Lamar came out in 2012.
I have a GKMC song, actually.
You do? Not Money Trees. Okay, that's good. We came in with different ones. But any guesses for this one?
I know the song because I saw the breakdown on IG, but I can't name it to you.
Yeah, so everyone knows Money Trees, of course, one of Kendrick's most iconic, popular songs. But I feel like if you play the original song, you might be familiar with the song itself, but not recognize that it was sampled on Money Trees. And that's because of what they did with it. So shout out to DJ Dahi. He masterfully sampled Silver Soul by Beach House. And the reason why it's hard to recognize is because he reversed the sample entirely.
Yeah, it's completely flipped over.
It's completely flipped. And what's really cool is that when you listen to the beginning of Money Trees, you could hear glitchy sounds. And that's because of the effect of everything being reversed. And of course, if you guys are not familiar with Beach House, they are a dream pop band. So they make super psychedelic music, sort of similar to the music that Chromatics makes, just that Chromatics is a bit more electronic. But yeah, the song Silver Soul, absolutely stunning to listen to. You feel like you're levitating when you do. The crooning on the song by the lead singer Victoria is absolutely beautiful. While she's singing the chorus, it almost sounds like she's singing through tears to get by. And what's fascinating is, again, the message of the song, where she's singing about falling in love, mm-hmm. but almost as if it's a bad thing. Like, there's fear involved with that. Like, she's scared she's going to be hurt. So it has a melancholic vibe. But again, it's just, it's interesting to see the concept of love being flipped on its head. But yeah, let me play this for you. And you probably will recognize it just because of how many times you've listened to Money Trees. But it's not super obvious, again, because it's completely reversed. So let's just listen to this.
Yeah.
You find it pretty obvious?
I find it. Well, it's because I know the sample clip.
Yeah. Show you where it goes with the vocals. Yeah, so that's that, man. What you got next?
All right, what do I have next? The next one is going to be a pretty obvious one. This is one of the most iconic sample flips of all time, and this is going to be Rise by Herb Alpert, and this is going to be the sample used in Hypnotized by Biggie.
Nice.
So that, like, doom that comes in, like, every once in a while within the production itself, and it's beautiful because this is a song that has a beautiful blend of jazz and funk and also disco as well, and... I'm not sure if you knew this, but you obviously know the label A&M.
Yeah.
Herb is actually one of the co-founders of it with Jerry Ma. So that was pretty interesting to me. Mm. When I was going into the history of the label, they explained a bit more about it. But it's really cool because, you know, when Herb was playing also with Tierra on a bass, he was kind of doing all kinds of different instrumentation. And then when he was working at the label in A&R, it brought him this song. And then he ended up doing his own process with it, and then he ended up flipping it himself, and essentially you end up getting this one. But what's cool is that Rise was originally, like, the original sample itself was more of like an up-tempo, like, dance-like record. So it was completely different than the song that you have now. And then after that, Herb, like, wanted to really slow down the sample itself, and then you ended up getting Rise. And then obviously they used that for the main melody behind Hypnotize. So let me play this for you. I think you're going to get it, like, it's impossible that you don't listen to this. Hold on a second. Let me pull this up. I have it in my library. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's obviously that bass line and back that you're hearing right now, right? And you can see how it's very funky. There's sort of like a disco influence to it. That type of like psychedelic effect. So like now, this is interesting, all right? Because that's the first half of the beat. Then there's a completely different transition. It's a 7-minute song. So then you get this.
There it is. No vocals on this song?
No.
Wow.
There's some like little background vocals in back, but nothing prominent. I just want to show you another time where it comes in. I think it should be coming soon. Hold on, let me go back. You had it right here.
There it is.
Beautiful song itself. Yeah, it's extremely quirky as far as a production goes, and there's so many different, like, I would say, like, crevices that you could go in with the track itself, so I find it very interesting as far as that goes. So Rise by Herb Alpert. And if you guys are into like instrumentation music, I brought a lot of instrumentation music today because that's what I also listen to on a regular basis. I think you guys would really enjoy it, so rip it.
Yeah, all right. Next up, I have Esclavo y Amo by Los Pasteles Verdes, came out in 1975. And this is the song that was sampled on Off D's by Jid featuring J. Cole.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
In 2018. Can you guess what part of the beat was sampled?
Like, I don't know how to explain it. Is it
it's that quirky guitar riff.
Yeah, it's that quirky guitar riff.
That quirky guitar riff that you hear all throughout the track. And it comes to us from Los Pasteles Verdes, a Latin pop group, that came from Peru. The song is called Esclavo y Amo, which means slave and master. And it's an old classic love song that sounds like something you might hear like for a slow dance song at a wedding or something like that. It's very traditional to Latin music. It's soft, but it's also powerful when it needs to be. And essentially the song's about a guy who becomes passionately in love with the woman and who pretty much becomes her slave in the sense of like answering to her every need and catering to whatever she wants. So I guess it'd be the equivalent of like simping today, if you want to call it that. But, I love old, like Julio Iglesias and like just old Latin pop sort of music. And this was really right up my alley, and I never would have expected this to be the song that was sampled on Off D's. So I'm going to play it, and you should be able to pick up on it pretty much right away. So let's see. Esclavo y Amo. Here we go.
Yeah. Is it this?
No.
I Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Chase the Money for using that guitar riff. Awesome.
Very interesting. All right, next one I'm going to bring in today, this is going to be Suadede Vem Correndo by Stan Getz and Luis Bonfa. And have you ever heard Runnin' by the Far Side?
Yeah.
Okay, and Wiz Khalifa's Name on a Cloud? Have you ever heard that song as well?
Name on a Cloud doesn't ring as much of a bell.
So this is the sample used in both of these songs itself. And this song has a beautiful blend of samba, jazz, and bossa. Like, I brought in Stan Getz's music before, and, you know, I believe I brought in a Luis Bonfa sample as well. But what's interesting is that you also get vocals by Maria Toledo, who's also Luis Bonfa's wife throughout it. And it's such an incredible song itself. So let me actually play you this sample, and I want to let you, like, I want to see if you're going to be able to pick it up. I think you're really gonna like this song. Like, yeah, this is some shit that you play in like Europe, like while you're chilling out type of vibe. Like, it's really like that. Okay, so Swed, let me pull this up. Here we go. This type of music, you
get the send that to me. I fuck with that.
You're gonna have to light up a cigar, get the Negronis going, like beautiful sunny
beautiful
day.
Beautiful music, man.
Open up a bottle of red wine, you know, get the steaks going. Like, there's just a certain vibe when that's like being played. Nothing in the world that even matters.
What language was that?
But Portuguese.
Portuguese.
But because I was giving context back on our Grammy episodes of like what Stan Getz does and how like originally, like what I believe when he had made. I'd have to go back to the album that I brought in. He would travel a lot to Brazil.
Yeah.
So, of course, they speak Portuguese over there, and he collaborated with a lot of Brazilian artists as well. And bossa was super prominent, and it still is within Brazilian culture. So
yeah, he does a lot of genre fusion, Stan Getz.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, fuses it in with traditional jazz music like you were able to hear in there. So incredible
shit. Fire.
Incredible stuff. So yeah, I'll send you that right now, actually.
Send that to me. Next track for me is gonna be So Fresh, So Clean by Outkast. Came
out in 2000.
I never knew this even had a sample, but it's easily one of their most famous songs. It's a personal favorite of mine as well. And this is one of the most obvious uses of a sample that I've ever heard, because when you listen back to the original song, which is Before the Night Is Over by Joe Simon, came out in 1977. They bring in a lot of the horns and the funky instruments that are used within that previous track. But what's interesting is that besides actually sampling the production itself, Outkast also interpolated Joe's chorus. Well, I should say Sleepy Brown interpolated it, because he's the one that delivers the hook on the song. And it's the exact same flow. So the words are different, but he's using the exact same flow as Joe Simon used on his song Before the Night Is Over. Just that instead of singing Ain't Nobody Dope As Me, I'm Just So Fresh, So Clean, Joe sings Take My Hand and Roll With Me. So anyways, I'm going to play it and you're going to be able to hear it. But it's super cool how like they really transformed it into into a hip hop song. But essentially, the song is also pretty cool, the original, because Joe Simon singing about trying to pick up a girl at a function and like trying to convince her that they're meant for each other, even though they just met. So it's a very romantic song with a lighthearted spirit and, just a cool blend of soul and funk by Joe Simon. So
let's hear this.
Let's hear this. And this one's like the most obvious I probably have on my list.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, send that over. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. So there you go. You hear it through the production, and you hear it through the cadence that he's using for his chorus as well. So
awesome. All right. Let me bring in my last song for today, and this one's going to be an all-time classic. You guys are probably familiar with this song. This is going to be Anytime, Anyplace by Janet Jackson, released back in 1994, and this was a sample used in Poetic Justice by Kendrick Lamar. And if you guys are familiar with Poetic Justice, there's obviously these beautiful female vocals in the back, and that is Janet Jackson. And what's interesting is that the writing is very like Barry White or Marvin Gaye-esque, where it's kind of like sexual liberation, and basically Janet Jackson is talking about making love and being like intimate with her lover in public. And basically the entire song is Anytime, Anyplace, I'm there, let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's get it going, you know.
And fucking parking lot of Chick-fil-A, let's do it.
Let's get this going, you know. And there's this beautiful saxophone in the back, and you get like these finger snaps that add like sort of like an intimacy throughout it, and it keeps you very engaged in the production. So let me play this for you. It's beautiful, and this is obviously off of her self-titled album Janet. Sorry, it was released in 1993. I saw the album dropped in 1993, May of 1993. Here we go. Listen to it. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I've been familiar with this one. It's a great one.
It's an incredible song itself. Yeah. So I wanted to bring this in for you guys, because you guys may not be familiar with Janet Jackson. One of the greatest vocalists of all time, in my opinion, as well. Her voice is incredible.
Absolutely.
Incredible voice. And she's an all-time great. So.
I'm going to run through two more.
All right.
So
what do you
next
guys
up, I got 5 to 1 by The Doors, which was sampled in Takeover by Jay-Z.
I knew this one.
Yeah,
I was thinking
man.
About bringing it in. I saw it because I was reading an old article that BET had done on some of the greatest sample flips in hip-hop history, and this was one that they had included itself. So this is super cool.
Yeah, it came out in 1968. It's regarded as one of their best ever tracks. And, of course, everyone knows Takeover from the iconic Blueprint album. It was the song that ended up being regarded as one of the greatest diss tracks of all time, even though Jay-Z ended up losing the battle to Nas. It's still regarded highly, and I feel like that's a massive achievement to have a losing battle but have a diss song within that battle that's regarded as highly as it is, like legendary shit. But yeah, once again, comes to us from the genius of Kanye West, who comes front and center, had the idea of sampling a rock band, which was genius because it gave the diss song this grandiose feeling. It gave it a tougher and meaner sound, which is exactly what you'd want to do for a diss song, right? But to speak on what he did, so he sampled multiple different booming electric guitar riffs that you'll hear all throughout the track, so it's not just one riff. And he also sampled vocal shouts, which was very clever. So, for example, you'll hear, like, come on, like, from The Doors. That's brought into Takeover, of course. And The Doors song is very invigorating. The band is fucking lively, from the lead singer and all of his range of vocal inflections to the distorted drums that you hear, as well as the epic bass line. Everything sounds heavy, everything sounds amplified on this song, and people regard it as an avant-garde metal song, so sort of like one of those songs that was a precursor to what heavy metal ended up becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact, this was Takeover was the first song that legendary engineer Young Guru mixed for Jay-Z.
Oh, that's crazy. I never
yeah,
knew that.
It was the first song he ever mixed for him. And the inspiration for the song's title came from The Doors song, because on the chorus, you hear, gonna win, yeah, we're taking over. Song ends up being called Takeover. So
Let me play this. Go for that.
Here we go.
Come on. Love my girl.
Oh, I see.
There you go. Great song. But last one I wanted to bring in, Free Smoke by Drake.
Oh, what did this sample?
This sampled Building a Ladder by Hiatus Coyote, a song that came out in 2015. And if you guys are not familiar with Free Smoke itself, produced by Boy Wanda and Alan Ritter, fan favorite because Drake is dissing Meek Mill and he's talking his shit for like three verses, just dishing out verbal assault. And they sampled Building a Ladder by Hiatus Coyote, and they're an Australian jazz funk band. And it's interesting because the way this song was utilized in Free Smoke is the same way that the song I Don't Give a Fuck utilized the sample that it had, in the sense that you have this sample playing out for about a minute to open up the song, mm-hmm. and then the track goes into a completely different direction where when Drake is actually rapping, there's no sight of the sample.
That's interesting.
So it's really just like used as maybe like a decoy where it's like, this is going to set the vibe and then we're going to go into a different direction. And it feels like they're words of encouragement, because when you listen to the lyrics of Building a Ladder, it sounds like it's motivational words for Drake to use to have peace of mind and to go at his enemies or whatever the case may be. The instrumental of the song is super classy. It's well composed. You have this free-ranging piano being played, a smooth bass line, the very patient drum pattern. And what's interesting is the singer's writing style is so distinct, because it sounds like she's a spirit guide who's trying to nudge you into the right direction.
Oh, that's really cool.
And you'll see what I mean when you listen to it.
So this is only for the beginning portion, right, of the song itself?
Absolutely. So I'm going to play it to you and pay attention to the writing style, because it's very interesting. It's unlike anything I maybe ever heard in a long, long time. So
yeah, go for it.
Listen to this. Should start soon, the vocals.
Send this to me, by the way.
Yeah. Let's see, where is it at? You know what? I want to pause it and actually bring it to the right point.
So on who sampled you?
That's it. That's what I'm doing.
They give you the exact timestamp.
There we go. So this was, let's see. Yeah, Building a Ladder. 116. Perfect. Here we go. Is
it the strength? Oh, okay. Of your feelings overthrowing your pain. You see.
Skip ahead a bit. Hold on, chorus again. Building a ladder of love to you, and I hope the love you built one to. Building a ladder of love to you, and I. Beautiful song.
Beautiful. Could you send that to me, please?
Absolutely.
I'm going to go through that.
So, yeah, man. I mean, interesting how, once again, he pretty much just plays a section of the song and then moves on from it on Free Smoke.
Very interesting. So, what was my favorite sample that... Sorry, your favorite...
My favorite sample that you brought in. The Stand gets one, for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful.
That's number one.
That's a summer song.
Yeah, what
sure.
about you on my end?
I would probably have to say the song by Chromatics.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like going to be up there, because I'm going into like more of like my alternative sort
electronic,
of
electronic
alternative sort of sounding stuff. So yeah. I'm definitely going to be having that in rotation. But guys, let us know in the Q&A. What was your favorite sample that you heard today? And did we put you on Game On to anything? Whether it's Janet Jackson, Stan Getz, Chromatics, The Doors, whatever the case may be. Let us know in the comments. And guys, thank you so much for keeping up with our schedule every single Tuesday. You guys know how it goes here. Every single Tuesday afternoon, at least on Eastern time, you guys are going to be getting a new audio podcast from the NFR Boys. That's going to be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else in the world where you guys get access your audio episodes. Thank you so much for listening to this, and we'll catch you in the next one. Peace.